Welcome back to the ICA Podcast. I'm Steve Prines, and I'm the course author and instructor for our state-of-the-art home inspection training program. Today I'm going to talk about what I call the three levels of home inspection. Now, this is not an official term. If you were to Google this up, you probably won't find anything about it anywhere on the internet. It's not something you're going to learn about in any type of training course, including ours. It's just my own observation. Now, in other podcasts, I've kind of covered my background, and I'll mention it here briefly again. I started doing home inspections in 1992, largely because I wanted to get away from working for somebody else, and the home inspection industry, at least to some degree, fit my skill set because I do have a bachelor's degree in construction management, and I spent many years in the construction industry doing a lot of big projects, but I got tired of doing those. I worked for a couple of companies and survived some layoffs, and I know a lot of you listening to this podcast have been through layoffs, whether you survived them or whether you are one of the unfortunate individuals that get laid off. Either way, you know, it's not a comfortable feeling, and obviously it's very uncomfortable if you, in fact, were laid off. Well, I was fortunate I never was laid off. However, I got tired of waiting around for the Grim Reaper to take me out, and that's why I decided to get into the home inspection industry and be my own boss. And you know what? I've never looked back. Sure, we've had some tougher times since 1992. Went through a couple of recessions. We survived. Our business did well. Our industry has done well. And today, we're well into the 21st century, and the home inspection business is completely thriving. So I've never looked back. I'm very glad I got into this industry. In the later 1990s, I started getting involved in home inspection training, and that's really what I've been doing for almost 20 years now. Teaching continuing education courses for home inspectors, as well as speaking at many, many home inspection association conferences, has given me the opportunity to speak with and get to know many, many home inspectors over the years. I've also had a chance to go out in the field with other home inspectors. That gives me a chance to see what they do, see what their style is, get some pictures, and in fact, a lot of the pictures we use in our home inspection training, that's in fact where I get them, by going out with other home inspectors and taking pictures of defects. So doing that's given me a real opportunity to see what other home inspectors do. And over the years, I've decided that home inspector styles seem to fit into three basic categories, or three levels. There's home inspectors that meet the standards of practice. There's home inspectors that meet and exceed the standards of practice to a certain point, and then there's home inspectors that seem to go way beyond the standards of practice. If you're not currently a home inspector and you're listening to this podcast thinking about getting into the home inspection industry, well, I don't know which level you're going to fit into or which category. That's really up to you. That's one of the really nice things about being a home inspector. You can take this as far as you like. In talking about the three levels of home inspectors, let's start with that first level. Individuals that just meet the standards of practice. Now, when I say that they just meet the standards of practice, I'm not trying to make that sound like it's a bad thing, because it's not. If you're not familiar with home inspection standards of practice, there are two major home inspector associations. There's the American Society of Home Inspectors, and then there's the International Association of Certified Home Inspectors. And by the way, I should mention that should you decide to get your home inspection training through ICA, upon completion of your training, you will get a free one-year membership in InterNACHI, which is one of the two professional home inspector associations. That's a really nice value. Both ASHI and InterNACHI have standards of practice, and if you're in a licensed state, your state will most likely have either a set of standards of practice that you have to follow, or they will tell you that you either have to follow the ASHI and or the InterNACHI standards of practice. What the standards of practice do is lay out the guidelines for doing a home inspection. The standards of practice will say what it is you have to do. Most standards of practice will have some exclusions, which basically say you don't have to do this, or you don't have to do that. And that's just to put a reasonable limit on the scope of the inspection. So when I say we have home inspectors that are just meeting the standards of practice, that's not a bad thing. If you simply meet the standards of practice, it's still going to take you an hour and a half to 2 hours and go through an average size home. Now, what's an average size home? Oh, I guess I'm talking about a home that's 1,800 to 2,200 square feet, 2,300 square feet. Just meeting the standards of practice, still going to take you an hour and a half to 2 hours to go through that home, look at everything you're supposed to look at based on the standard of practice, find any defects that are present, take your pictures, talk to your client about them, and then after that hour and a half to 2 hours, you're still having to produce a report. And that's going to take you another 45 minutes, an hour, or 90 minutes. The national average time for home inspector is to produce a written report is 45 to 90 minutes. And that comes to us from an American Society of Home Inspectors business operations study. So that's that first level. Home inspectors are just meet the standards of practice. Again, it's not a bad thing. If your state licenses home inspectors, by law, you have to meet their standard of practice. And again, that's going to take you probably an hour and a half to 2 hours for an average size home. You should be able to make a reasonable fee, and you've provided a reasonable service for your client. Should your client expect anything more than for you to simply meet the standards of practice? No, they shouldn't. Legally, they should not. That's why we have a standards of practice. It lays down exactly what it is you're supposed to do and what you don't have to do. So why are there home inspectors that would do anything more than meet the standard of practice? Well, it's because they believe they're providing better customer service by exceeding the standards of practice in some manner. That brings us to that second level of home inspectors I was talking about, inspectors that meet the standards of practice and then do a bit more. What more are they doing? Well, some home inspectors will provide other services. And I should clarify what I mean about this. Now, as a home inspector, even if you're in a licensed state, you can meet the standard of practice and simply meet the home inspection standard of practice and do nothing more, but still offer a separate service such as radon testing or mold or something like that. But what I'm talking about here is providing some other service, such as offering cost estimates to make repairs in the home or helping clients find contractors to repair defects that may have been found in the home, or doing building permit research. Should you do that as a home inspector? I don't know. Another way for a home inspector is to provide good customer service, in addition to meeting the standards of practice, is to comment on a few things that maybe aren't part of the standards of practice, but may be important to your client. As an example, perhaps around the perimeter of the yard, the fence is in bad condition. Now, typically, that's excluded from a home inspection standards of practice. But maybe you point it out to your client because you don't think they're aware of it. And obviously, if a fence is falling over, that's a cost that they're going to have to consider when they purchase the home. Are they going to have the fence removed? Are they going to have it repaired? So if you don't think they're aware of it, you might want to mention it to them. And actually, on a home inspection, we run across a lot of things like that, where talking about these items may be beyond the standards of practice, but perhaps we do it for customer service. Another good example might be in a basement, in a finished basement where they have a 2x4 grid ceiling with tiles that lay in that 2x4 grid. You know what I'm talking about. Now, it's beyond the standards of practice to have to move any of those ceiling tiles to look and see what's above them. However, if you were to see a stain on one of the ceiling tiles, it might not be a bad idea to try to lift a tile up that's stained, especially if you can do it without damaging it. You can get that tile up and shift it over. Perhaps you can see what's causing that stain. Maybe it's an active leak. Maybe it's something that's been repaired. Maybe you won't really know what caused the stain. In any case, by looking above that ceiling tile, yeah, you're exceeding the standard of practice, but by going beyond the standard of practice a little bit, you're providing better customer service for your client. And a lot of home inspectors feel that way. That's sort of your second level of home inspector. So we have that first level of home inspectors that simply meet the standards of practice, and if they're in a licensed state, they meet their state law, that's fine. And now we have the second level of home inspectors that will meet the standards of practice and exceed them a little bit for customer service. So let's talk about that third level of home inspector, ones that greatly exceed the standards of practice. So what are these individuals doing? Primarily, they're getting into code inspections, and that's what I've seen over the years. I've talked to a lot of these types of home inspectors. They go into every home inspection assuming there's going to be building code violations. Now, the reason home inspectors are not code inspectors, the reason building codes are excluded from all standards of practice is because building codes change from time to time, and an existing home typically is not required to be brought up to current code, simply has to meet the code at the time that it was built. And the other thing is, as a home inspector, you probably inspect homes in various municipalities or in various cities. If you work in an urban area, I'm in the Chicago area, so we'll use that as an example. There's probably 150 suburbs around the Chicago area. You know, I've never counted them, but I've lived here my entire life. I bet there's 150 suburbs. In fact, there's probably 200 suburbs, depending on how far out from Chicago you consider a town to be and still be called a suburb. The Chicago area is typically considered to be 8 counties. So, yeah, we've got 150 to 200 suburbs. They don't all go by the same building code. And as an inspector, I can do an inspection in any suburb I choose to, unless, of course, I own a franchise where perhaps I'm limited to a certain territory or a certain county. But as an independent home inspector, I can go to any of the 8 counties in the Chicago area and do a home inspection. And we don't have countywide building codes. We have city building codes. I live in Lombard. I'm right next to Villa Park and Glen Ellen. Villa Park, Lombard, and Glen Ellen are all using different versions of the National Electric Code. So there are some variances between what they require in a home for the electrical system. And all three of these towns are using different versions of the International Residential Code, and they have their own amendments in each town. So the reason I'm telling you this is, as a home inspector, it would be very difficult for me to completely know building codes and electrical codes for every city that I'm going to go to in a given day. So if I do 5 home inspections this week, I may be in 5 different towns that have 5 different sets of building codes. There's certainly 5 different variations of those building codes. That would be ridiculous for me to know that. That's actually what architects have to do. Architects have to know all the building codes when they design a building. But that's why architects get so much more money than we get. We're there for 2 to 3 hours. We get a good fee for what we do. But it would be ridiculous to expect a home inspector to research building codes. So getting back to this third level of home inspector, yeah, there's guys that are basically researching building codes before they go out and do a home inspection. Or perhaps they only do inspections in a larger town. Like, as an example, they work in Nashville, and they work only within Nashville. They don't really leave the town. They don't go out to the suburbs. That makes it somewhat easier to know all the Nashville building codes. Even so, my personal opinion, I think that's going too far. But as I've said in this podcast, and as I say all the time, even when I'm doing live continuing education classes or I'm speaking at Home Inspection Association conferences, this business is what you make of it. And if as an individual home inspector, you feel it makes more sense to go beyond the standard practice and report code violations, because you feel that there are safety issues, but you want to report them in terms of code violations, that's fine. If you want to talk about overall quality of construction of the home, that's fine. You can do that. Most home inspectors are not going to get into the overall quality of a home other than simply looking for actual defects. But, you know, if a home has a cheaper siding material than another home, is it our place as a home inspector to discuss it with our client that the siding may not last that long? Probably not, at least not in my opinion. But if you think that's a good idea, that's up to you. I talked to a home inspector very recently who was very proud of the fact that he told his client that the shingles on that home were so-called 20-year shingles, and he didn't think those shingles would last very long. And even though those shingles appeared to be in good shape at the time of the home inspection, he still told the client that those were inferior shingles and that, in his opinion, you should buy nothing less than a 30-year shingle. Okay. As a home inspector, he feels like he should go beyond and be somewhat of a building consultant. You know what? That's not my style, but I'm not going to fault him for what he did. It's not my style. It's his style. Doesn't mean I'm right or he's right. Now, in case you're wondering, what style do we teach in the ICA program? Well, I'm one of those inspectors. I'm kind of in the middle. I do more than the standards of practice, but I'm not at third level where we're going to go to talking about building quality or construction quality or building codes. We're not going to do that. It's not my style. So in the ICA program, I teach you what it's going to take you to meet the standards of practice, and then I offer you a little bit more if you choose to do it that way. So we're trying to teach you to basically fall into that second level if that's what you choose to do. And if you think it makes more sense to simply do a straight standard of practice home inspection, well, that's what we're teaching you as well, and that's what you can do. Either way, you can get what you need out of this course. And inspectors that are working in that third level where they're getting into heavy consultation and code inspections and all that type of thing, that's not something that any program is going to teach you. That's something that a home inspector sort of learns and develops on their own as they get more experience. So as you get into the home inspection business, you have to start out by at least meeting the standards of practice. As you get experience, you're going to get a good feel for how much more you feel like you should do for the client to set yourself apart from other home inspectors or to make yourself feel comfortable about the situation. If you choose to go farther and farther and farther as you gain more experience, that's up to you. The only negative point I can see to going way beyond the standards of practice is that you do incur more liability. And that's kind of a topic for a different day, and we've talked about that in other podcasts as well. I'm probably going to talk more about liability in an upcoming podcast because I think it's time to reexamine that. But for now, let me just say that the farther you go beyond the standards of practice on a home inspection, the more liability you may incur. But having said that, I know of many inspectors that are inspecting into that third area that I talked about, that third level where they're going way, way beyond, and they've had no trouble at all. This is a great industry. You can make what you want out of it. You can go as far as you want with it. Once you get some experience, you can establish your own home inspection style. And once you've established your own style, you can use that to set yourself apart from other home inspectors. You can promote that on your website. You can promote that through social media. And certainly, you'll get people wanting to refer you to their friends and to their colleagues. And that's the way you grow your business. That about concludes today's podcast. Very much appreciate your listening. If you have any questions about the home inspection industry or about our training, please give us a call. You can talk to any of our friendly ICA associates, or you can contact me directly, and we'd be glad to help you out. Thanks very much for listening to today's ICA podcast.